you would.
Amen. Let's read the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Amen. For sake of time, we'll just read the last verse, chapter 12, verse 12. Y'all have to bear with me tonight that the Lord would help me to be able to preach in English. Yes. I do pretty good, but there's sometimes my mind just gets bewildered, you know, about trying to figure out what the word is in English that I need to use. And so hopefully that won't happen tonight. Verse number 12. Let's see. I'm in Mark 12. I need chapter 2. Did I say chapter 12? No. Okay. It says, and immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Amen. Lord, I ask you tonight, God, that you'd help me, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd help me to have calmness of nerves. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd give me the confidence I need in thee, Lord, not in myself. For Lord, I know that I'm nothing before you, Lord. I'm nothing but what Jesus has made in me, done in me. And Lord, I pray that if there be one here tonight, Father, that's lost, or one out there in the radio audience, Lord, that's lost, that needs to hear this, Lord. Yes. I pray, Father, that you would speak to that heart, Lord, right now. And I pray, Father, for the great host of churches out there, Father, all across America, around the world. I pray, Father, that you'd help your body tonight, Father. I pray that, dear God, you'd help, Lord, that those pastors that are, dear Father, they're back up against the wall. They don't know what to do. Yes. I pray that you'd help them tonight. I pray, God, that you'd strengthen them and use them. And I pray, Father, for those that are sick and afflicted tonight, Lord, out there, Lord, and you should touch their bodies tonight, Lord. I pray, Father, for that family out there in California that lost a precious baby. Lord, that you'd help them as they go through this time of trial, Lord. I pray you'll help them. And Lord, I pray you'll bring Brother Ricky and his family as they go out there, Father, to be with the family. Be with them in the air. Help the pilots, the plane, and everything else, Lord. I pray that you just be with them and help them today, Father, we pray. Now, Lord, I ask you, Father, that you take this message and use it for the glory of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We see in the last verse here where it says, the last phrase there, we never saw it on this fashion. And I want to talk tonight about the thing never seen. The thing never seen or saw. Whatever way that we should be right. The thing never seen or saw. Or sold. The thing that's never been seen or never seen is the thing that's never been attempted or never attempted. You know, if it's not attempted, it will never be seen.
That is right. Yes, sir.
You know, we think about the great things that's happened in history and the times that we, in much of it in our generation, in our time. You know, and I believe that around the turn of the century is when the increase of science and everything else has happened. That people in the generation before that never saw those things.
Right.
Never saw them. But we've lived to see those things. And I think about the thing that, you know, and a lot of people still to this day doesn't believe it ever happened. But to make it to the moon and come back.
Right.
A lot of people think that it was a farce, you know, that didn't happen. But I believe it happened. I lived to see it. I saw it as a child in 1969. I saw it on TV when it happened. I believe they opened up a TV there in the school where we were going and let us see it as students. I saw it happen. I saw when Neil Armstrong touched that foot on that moon, you know, and said one small step for man and whatever he said. And you know, John F. Kennedy back in, he said in a famous speech, he said, we go to the moon not because it is easy, because it is hard. On July the 24th, 1969, Neil Armstrong touched his foot upon the moon, and he didn't live to see it. We know that to be true. But we think about to fly nonstop across the Atlantic had never been seen. But you realize that there was a plane actually that done it in 1911 before Charles Lindbergh did it. But he was the first one that went nonstop solo. The other day I was down in Pensacola and I saw the plane that they took, made that flight in 1911. It took 20 days to go across the Atlantic. But Charles Lindbergh flew nonstop May the 21st, 1927. And I think about the first heart transplant. The first heart transplant that had never been done. And a lot of people thought it'd never be done. And Christian Bernard on 3rd of December 1967 was the first doctor in South Africa to be able to successfully transplant a heart and for the person to come to and live afterwards. And think about that. And it's become a standard practice today.
Right.
Think about to go to Mars and back. Now, I'll tell you right now, I have to be a doubter about that. Huh? But you know, people thought that about going to the moon. You know, that never happened.
Yep.
And I don't think it ever happened, but you know, it could happen. We may never see it in our generation, our time, but things that have never been seen. Think about to go to the very depths of the sea,
yep.
You know. It's amazing to think about that. But James Cameron, this has happened recently, you know, in the last probably 10 years, James Cameron went to 35,750 feet to the depths of the sea. That's 6.77 miles deep down into the Mariana Trench. Saw things that nobody had ever seen before. Saw animals that we didn't even know existed. And just recently, in the last year, someone went down to that depth again, or even beyond that depth. And so, those are things that's never been seen before, but were saw. Well, you know, the last thing I'd like to talk about tonight as far as things in this first point that's never been attempted or, you know, that's never been seen, it was to preach the gospel to all the world.
Amen.
To preach the gospel to all the world. Well, it is an ongoing venture based on the efforts of man. Men of God, men of Christian men and women, boys and girls, and by the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
But if you don't attempt it, you'll never do it.
Right.
If you don't attempt it, you'll never do it. I don't know how many times I've been to small churches, and they've said to me, just recently I went to a funeral one day, and I met the pastor that was going to preach that day, and, you know, afterwards we had a meal at the church there at Loganville, and he come by, shook his hand, and he said, I knew he was a pastor of a church up there in the mountains. And I said, well, I'd come by and be in your church maybe sometime, you know, and present our work. And of course, he gave me that saying, well, we're just a small church. We, you know, we can't do it. And I could see he really didn't want to do it, you know. He didn't really want to do it. And today, the work of missions is really faltering, folks.
Yes, sir.
It's really faltering. And last Sunday night, I believe, was I preached on the vision of chapter number 16, verse number 9, about the vision that Paul saw in the night.
Right.
We need a Macedonian vision today. We need to see a fresh vision of the work of Christ.
Amen.
And it's not going to happen if we don't attempt it, folks.
Right.
If we do not attempt the work of God, we do not attempt to send missionaries. We do not attempt as people to go out to the mission field
right. And
do the work of the Lord. Back in the 70s, 80s, there was a great revival in missions. And I mean, they say that missionaries could go, in 1 year after they declared their time of going to the mission field, they could go in 1 year, get their money up and go to the mission field. Nowadays, it's an ongoing effort.
Right.
And sometimes people start and they never finish because they get wore out, you know, because of the lack of vision, the lack of desire, the lack of momentum, the lack of urgency. To do the work of the Lord. If we do not attempt it, it will never happen.
Yes,
amen. You know, I tell you right now, we're living in serious days, folks, as far as the work of mission. It was in this chapter we see here, chapter number 2, we see that what happened there, we know what happened. Those that are a part of the body here have read the Word of God much. They know that this man was healed of his palsy, and it was attempted. First of all, in verse number 1, because Jesus was in the house.
Amen.
Because Jesus was in the house. In verse number 1 it says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." It was noised that he was in the house. I tell you right now, I was thinking about Larry King. You know, he's interviewed over when he's still alive, but very rarely. And he's interviewed over 60,000 different people. Some of the most important, some of the most famous, powerful people in the world he's interviewed. And you know, he's a Jew. And I would love to ask him tonight if he would like to interview the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he says he's an agnostic, an atheist. He don't believe in God, and him being a Jew, you know. And what would he do if he could interview Jesus Christ? Would it change his heart?
Amen.
Would it change his heart if he could go to a place and Jesus sat down across there and he would interview him? What would he ask him the first time? What are those marks in your hands? What are those marks I see in your hands?
Amen.
And could Jesus would raise his hand and say, "Those are the marks of my passion.
Yes, sir.
That I died not only for the Jew, but for the Gentile."
Yes.
Oh, I tell you right now, thanks be to God that Jesus is in the house tonight.
Amen.
Because he's promised to be in, where there's two or three gathered together, in my name, there I'll be in the midst of them. And so tonight we know that he's here because he promised to be here. But in that moment, he was in the house. And I'll tell you right now, whenever he was anywhere, they wanted to be there. And I'll tell you right now, it's a shame tonight that in America, people know that churches are preaching the gospel. They know that churches are gathered together, but they don't want to be here.
Right. Yeah.
They don't want to be here. You know, 20, 30, 50 years ago, if this was the house of God, in those days it'd be filled because people wanted to be in the house of God where Jesus was at. And, but that moment, it was attempted because he was in the house.
Amen.
It was attempted because Jesus was in the house, and it was attempted because it was noised abroad that he was in the house.
There you go.
There you go, folks. We need to get serious about noising abroad that Jesus is here. That Jesus is here.
Yes, sir.
And we need to let our neighbors know tonight.
Right.
We need to let our friends know tonight. We need to let people know tonight that Jesus is in the house.
Amen.
That he's in the house. The doctor's in.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you right now, and he's able to heal the heart of man tonight.
Amen.
He's able to heal the most vile and most perverse heart tonight. If you're out there tonight, you're addicted by drugs. I tell you, America tonight is addicted by drugs.
Yep.
Thousands are dying every year because of drugs. And many of them are given by doctors. We know that to be the story. And it's an epidemic in America that people are dying of drugs tonight. And I don't know what the answer is, but I know who can give you the answer, and that's Jesus Christ tonight. He is the doctor, and he's in the house tonight. If you'll just come to him, he'll help you in every way that you need tonight. I can't help you. I can't help you. I can't be with you tonight. But he's promised to be with us even into the end of the age tonight. I tell you, that blows my mind as a missionary, that I go forth as a missionary to preach the gospel, and the same one that's here tonight is the same one that's down there in Mexico right now with Brother Bill and all the pastors there in Mexico preaching the Word of God. And not only there, but in Africa. Not only there, but in Asia. Not only there, but in South America and around the world. Jesus is with them in presence tonight. Oh, we need to make sure that people know that Jesus is in the house. Thank God for the radio tonight. Thank God for the internet tonight that is carrying this message to missionaries maybe in the other side of the world tonight. I tell you, it might be Sunday, it might be Monday over there, or it might not be Monday, it might be Saturday. I don't know the whole the situation about the time zones, but I know one thing, no matter where it's at, no matter what day it is, Jesus is in house tonight.
Amen.
And he can help you and heal you and give you salvation if you need that tonight. Oh, I tell you right now, the thing that's never been seen or saw, I tell you, it was attempted because of a need tonight. Verse number 4 says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press." Verse number 3, return back to verse 3. And it says, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of for. One day I saw a man back years ago when I was lived in North Carolina. I saw a man that lived not far from the house there, my grandmama's house. And he had the cerebral palsy, which I believe that's the same thing, palsy, cerebral palsy. And I mean, Brother Hall, you shake a lot, but you didn't shake like he don't shake like he did. I mean, he was just uncontrollable. I mean, he was in bad shape when he'd get to that, have one of those attacks. I mean, he'd just be uncontrollable as far as his whole body. I mean, he was in bad shape. And this man was in the same shape. He had palsy tonight. And all I tell you right now, it was attempted because of the need of this man.
Right.
I tell you right now, we preach the gospel tonight because of the need of man.
Amen.
They're in bad condition. They're lost and done without
right.
God. They're spiritually dead tonight. They cannot resurrect themselves. They cannot help themselves tonight. This man could not help himself tonight. He could not come to God. He could not come to the Savior. And he needed to come to the Savior. And so what happened? There was four men that had a burden.
Amen.
Desired to carry him to Jesus tonight. We desire that men be saved. As John F. Kennedy said, we do not go to the moon. We do not make an attempt to go to the moon because it's easy, but because it's hard.
Yeah.
Because it's hard tonight. And it's hard to bring men to Christ.
Yeah.
It's not easy tonight. The ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do it because it's important tonight.
Yeah.
Because men are dying every day without God, without the knowledge of the Savior tonight. And we need to make that attempt to bring men to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Oh, I tell you right now, we need to get busy, folks. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last moments before the Lord comes, and men are dying without God every day.
Right.
Going out into eternity. Just today, I turned on Fox News, and I saw there where there was 21 people killed within just an earshot of the Texas border. 21 people dead in a gun battle. I mean, the buildings all in that little city there, pot-marked over there just like it was an open war zone.
Yep.
Oh, I tell you right now, 21 people dead. Just a little while ago, 9 precious people went out into eternity just within 70 miles of the border. They're in Mexico and they're dying every day. Just the other day, we got a message from a pastor down there in Mexico where one of the pastors had gotten a call or was going out to visit someone and never came back home. And a day or two later, they found his body wrapped in plastic where he'd been tortured. No doubt by the narcos down there, by the drug people. Oh, I tell you, people are dying without God. Just before I came out of Mexico the other day, my next door neighbor, Manuel, been living there for probably 4 years, maybe or something like that. And I'd been working with him and his wife. His name was Manuel. His wife's name Martha. And, never could get him to understand the gospel. Preached to him many times. And on Wednesday night when, Stephanie arrived, we went to pick her up at the airport, and on the way back home, got a message that he had died. He had died. We buried him on Friday. Oh, I tell you right now, we need to be urgent with the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this man was sick of the palsy. He could not come to his own. Men are not going to come to this church tonight. It might be an accident, not an accident, but every once in a while somebody might drop in. But I tell you right now, most people will not come if we do not go and bring them. These four men had a burden tonight to bring this man to Jesus. Every one of them, each one of them took up a corner. And every one of them fulfilled his part of the bargain of bringing this man to Jesus. Oh, I tell you right now, we saw, seeing this message, that there was obstacles in the way. What is the obstacles tonight? The Bible says here there was a press. Verse number 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. First of all, there was a press of the people that would not let them get to Jesus. You would think that, you know, like you see in traffic sometimes, you'll hear an ambulance behind us, and people will get over, make an attempt to get over. That here in America, I mean, it's a law that you got to do it. You got to let the ambulance go by, or the policeman go by. But down in Mexico, I mean, I've seen ambulances just sit there in traffic for minutes and minutes and minutes. And because people do not take it serious when there's a siren behind them or an ambulance behind them. Sometimes they'll try to make their way, and a lot of times it's the traffic. They can't get by. I mean, it's just so full of people. But oh, I tell you right now, this situation, the people were so selfish. Right. They had established their place, and they felt like that was their place.
Yep.
And they were not concerned about the man that needed to be brought to Jesus. I tell you right now, we're selfish today in our day and time. We're satisfied with the fact that we're saved. But what about the lost and the undone without God? The press of the people. That was the first obstacle we see here. Second of all, obstacle, we see the roof of the building. But that was no obstacle, really. Because I tell you right now, if you got a desire to carry someone to Jesus, you'll make a way to bring them to Jesus. I mean, you'll make a way to get them there because you want them to be saved by the grace of God. And the first way we need to do it, as Christians, we need to get on our knees.
Sure.
And to pray for them.
Yes, sir.
Pray for them. Pray without ceasing night for our lost loved ones,
Amen.
Our children, our brothers,
yes.
our neighbors in the community.
Yes.
We need to pray for them. Second of all, we need to go to them as the Lord gives us opportunity.
Yes.
And tell them the gospel. They might not accept you. They might reject you. But do it in a sweet spirit.
Amen.
Back years ago was now, excuse me, but we were out visiting there in a big housing development near the judicial area there, and not far from my house there in Oaxaca. And I went up to a door and knocked on the door, and a man came out, and I began to tell him about the gospel. And he was very belligerent. And he was very belligerent and, just totally rejected me, insulted me. And I never returned the insults. I tried to be sweet to him and just inform him about the gospel. And, I forget how many months later, I had told him where our church was at and where I lived at. And, we went back to visit that housing development again. I mean, massive big housing development, thousands of houses in there. And, I wasn't with them that day that I can remember, but two of the ladies came to that same house and knocked on his door. He came out and he said, "Hey, do you know Troy? Troy? Missionary or Troy Gringle?" Whatever he said. And the ladies, they didn't know how to respond. "Yeah, he's our missionary." So they went and found the pastor. He was not far from them. He came over there and started talking to this man. And he told him later on, told the pastor that night or that morning, he said, after I talked to him, I was very mean to him and everything like that, but something happened and I began to have a desire to know God. I began to have a desire to be saved. And I went looking for him, went down to the city where he lives at, and I couldn't find him. And, but I came back and I found a church not far from here and I was saved.
Amen.
I tell you right now, that rejoices my heart.
Sure.
That makes me rejoice tonight. Hey, the obstacles might be there, but we cannot let that obstacle stop us.
Right.
They didn't. They said, "Well, there's a press of people. We can't get by." But we looked up and we saw, and of course, we know the roof there probably was made like they are in Mexico, a lot of places down there where they have they're made out of clay and they're laid on top of one another. That's probably what it was like. They went up there and began to dissemble those they call them tejas there in Mexico, tejas. And they're made out of clay. They began to dissemble that so that they could let him down to the presence of Jesus. And that's what we need to do to folks.
Yes.
We need to get the people to Jesus. I tell you right now, we're so busy trying to defend our way that we forget the way is Jesus Christ.
Right.
He is the way. He is the truth.
Yep.
He is the life.
Amen.
He that will come to him shall not be turned aside tonight.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, it's not so much about us tonight. It's about Jesus
yes.
tonight.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, we see not only another obstacle. We see the obstacle of criticism.
Yes.
The criticism. Look at verse number 6 and verse number 7. "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?"
Amen.
Oh, there was a criticism tonight. And I tell you right now, the work of God is going to have criticism.
Yes, sir.
I tell you right now, we see the criticism in our country right now.
Yep.
Our president is being criticized every day.
Yep.
From every quarter.
Right.
I mean, but yet he keeps on doing his work.
Amen.
And that's what we got to do tonight as Christians. If a man that's a president of the United States and I don't know if he's saved or not, or whatever. But he's a good man, and he's trying to do the thing that's right for our country. If a man like him that could be criticized by the thousands, but keeps on doing his work,
amen,
why can't we do the same tonight?
Amen.
Why can't we keep on going and doing the work of God? I tell you, Jesus was criticized there.
Yes.
At verse number 5 says, and when Jesus saw their faith, look at there. He didn't say he saw his faith. He says, when Jesus saw their faith, the faith of those four men. We need to have faith in God tonight, folks, that God has a purpose in this world for the church and for us as individuals tonight. We need to have faith in Him tonight to know that when Jesus sees our faith, He'll do a great work in the heart of men.
Amen.
He saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Amen.
Thy sins be forgiven thee. He didn't say be healed. He said thy sins be forgiven thee.
Right.
Oh, I tell you tonight, they couldn't stand that. Just like people can't stand the fact of our president. And I didn't mean to bring politics, and I'm not bringing politics into the pulpit tonight. But I tell you, people can't stand to see the good things that's happening in our country tonight. These folks couldn't see the good things Jesus was doing.
Right.
I mean, you ought to think that, you'd think that they'd be up rejoicing.
Right.
They'd think they'd be up shouting.
Yep.
That this man's sins was forgiven him.
Yep.
But yet they begin to criticize him.
Yep.
Criticize the Lord Jesus Christ for healing a man or for forgiving his sins. Oh, I tell you right now, verse number 7, why did this man this speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?
Amen.
Says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within himself, he said unto them, now, that's amazing. You know, they didn't say anything. They didn't say one thing, but they were reasoning in their heart. And God Almighty in their presence knew what they were thinking.
That's right.
If he could know in their presence what they were thinking, what does he know about us tonight?
Exactly.
He knows our thoughts.
Sure.
He knows the intents of our heart.
Right.
And everything about us he knows.
Yep.
Not only our past, our present, but the future.
Right.
You tonight, God knows your intents tonight. If you're out there tonight, maybe intending or thinking about doing something bad, thinking about even maybe taking your life tonight, I don't know. You know, God knows what you are doing and what you're thinking about doing. Don't do it.
Right.
You know, don't do it.
Amen.
Let God take control of your heart tonight.
Amen.
And be saved, because He's there willing to forgive your sins. Oh, I tell you right now, we see here in verse number 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in the Spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee,
right,
or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Oh, I tell you right now, I tell you, the thing that's never been seen before is the thing that's never been attempted.
Yep.
Oh, it was done here tonight because Jesus is God Almighty.
Amen.
And He wanted it to be done. If He wants something to be done tonight, it will be done.
Right.
I mean, He wants men to be saved tonight.
Sure.
He wants men to come to the truth, to the knowledge of the Savior tonight. He wants you tonight to be saved by His grace, by His death on Calvary's cross, by His finished work, by His shed blood tonight. He wants you to be saved tonight. You may never be healed of that sickness that you have, of that disease that you have, that affliction you have. But if your soul can be healed tonight, oh, I tell you, you'll be made complete. And when you die, leave this world, you'll be in a better, better land tonight.
Yes,
oh, I tell you, Jesus wants to save you tonight. He wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved.
Right.
He wants you to be saved because He came to taste death for you on the cross,
right,
of Calvary.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you right now, thanks be to God that one night on September the 18th, 1977, Jesus Christ reached down and saved me.
Amen.
After church service, heard the word of God and came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There on the porch of the church, And it wasn't a powerhouse church. It wasn't a pure church. I'm not going to tell you everything about the church. It's just one of those standard country churches. But I tell you right now, when I came out of that door that night, came out on that porch after hearing the word of God from a man of God that's now in heaven, no old pastor, brother Paul, no old preacher, old man of God. And when he'd preach, his head was bald headed, and he'd preach so hard his head would look like a cherry. I mean, I'm telling you right now, he'd get to preaching, and he preached me into the kingdom of God. But on that porch that night, the Holy Spirit came and convicted me, brought me to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I tell you, thanks be to God. He wanted it to happen tonight, folks. He wants you to be saved tonight. You might be here and lost. You might be out there in the radio audience. And if you're lost tonight, and that no doubt you are, he wants you to be saved. Please come to him tonight. Just raise up the hand of surrender, the heart, and he'll come into that heart.
Amen.
I tell you, it was attempted because it glorified God.
Amen.
The last verse there, it says, and verse number 12, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. You know, the only thing that God cannot do, you say, I thought God could do anything. He can, but he cannot save anybody that doesn't repent of his sins.
Right.
He cannot save anybody that doesn't put their faith in him tonight.
Right.
You must believe that God came to this world and died on an old rugged cross and was buried and arose again the third day and is now seated on the right hand of the Father, ready to receive all those that would come into that would accept him into their hearts. You must believe in him tonight. You cannot come to him unless you believe in him tonight. You cannot come to him tonight unless you throw up the flag of surrender and repent of your sins tonight and accept him into your heart tonight. You must believe. You must have faith in God. Oh, I tell you right now, if you just do that, the old saying, the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. Hey, we're going to go up beyond the sky one day. I mean, those folks are talking about going up to Mars. But I'm going to tell you right now, in 1 second, I'll be much further than Mars. In 1 second, I'll pass the last planet in the solar system. I'll be in the very presence of God. I'll tell you right now, that's a wonderful blessing tonight. I won't have to climb into some space capsule. I won't have to sit there and eat things out of a satchel, you know, of what they did, how they eat. As they went to the moon in those days, they talked about toothpaste things, you know, and they'd fill them full of food and they'd eat them. Later on, they developed different situations where people could eat, and they go up there even now into the space. I won't have to do any of that.
Amen.
I'll be in his presence. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
You say, well, how is that going to happen? I don't understand it, but I know it's going to happen.
Right.
Because I believe by faith.
That's right. Yeah.
I tell you, there's some things you have to believe.
Amen.
By faith. Our mind cannot comprehend it tonight.
Right.
I mean, those folks back in the days before the turn of the century could not comprehend how an airplane could fly.
Right.
I still can't comprehend it, but I love it.
Amen.
I still, to this day, whenever a plane flies over, I love to go by the Atlanta airport just to see all those airplanes fly.
Mm-hmm.
And see them come in. And sometimes I think they're going to crash into me because I'll be going along there. And all of a sudden, there's one coming in landing. And it looks like it's going to crash.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's amazing tonight. And what is grace but amazing tonight?
Amen.
How a sinner that is so convinced and so desirous of drink and of sin, and one moment he can be saved by the grace of God, delivered, liberated from that drink or from whatever that sin may be, and be saved and be cleansed. That's amazing tonight, folks. Oh, I tell you right now, what amazing thing it is that God could save someone like myself tonight. I know what I was tonight before I came to him, but I know what I am tonight. I am what I am by the grace of God. Oh, I tell you, and I pray that his grace would not be in vain tonight. Y'all pray for us as we go back to Mexico tonight, that the Lord would help us.
Yes.
Much danger, but I'd rather be there tonight than any place in the world that I know of right now. I'd love to be there tonight. But God has us here for a reason. And oh, I tell you, just pray for us that the Lord would help us in these days. Pray for my family. Pray for my son. Pray for us tonight that the Lord would help us in all the decisions we're making right now. Dear Father, we pray for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you for our Christ that died there. Thank you, Lord, dear Father, for the consolation of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that one day, and when we take that last breath in this world, we'll be in His presence beyond the Milky Way, beyond all the planets, oh, Father, beyond all the galaxies, thousands of galaxies out there, Lord, and we'll be beyond all that in His presence. Help us today, Lord. Lord, help us to attempt great things because, Lord, they're there to be done, Lord. And if we don't do those things, we will not glorify You, Lord. And Lord, help us not to doubt. And I confess that I doubt many times, Lord. I confess, Lord, that I doubt that one day there'll be a spacecraft that will go to Mars and come back. I doubt that, Lord. Lord, so many people doubt the Lord God. They doubt the Lord Jesus. But He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And why should we doubt the God that said that to us? The only God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to doubt You, Lord, today. We ask You right now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother.